This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so is it Sheen Shod? Is it Xian Xiaod? I don't know what it is. It's
I don't know. It's a hot dog.
It's a hot dog. And that's so Ken Cal tweeted out a picture from the press room last night. When in Montreal, you got to have a Sheen Shod in the press room.
Sheen Shod.
And it's just
C-H-I-E-N.
At first I thought, oh, Sheen Shod. Is this some sort of special prepared hot dog? Let's take a look. It's a hot dog.
No, it's a hot dog. There's a difference here, though. In this picture, guys, tell me, that bun looks a little different. It looks like a sliced bread.
It looks like a slice of bread that's
slit in the middle. Or something like that. Yeah,
but have you seen these buns? Like, I've seen these buns. I don't even eat hot dogs.
I've seen buns. Like, this is more like a lobster roll.
It's like a top.
Top cut.
Yeah, top cut bun. But, yeah.
But I didn't know that. Did that make it a Sheen Shod? But apparently that's just what they call hot dogs in Montreal.
It looked really good.
It's pronounced Xian Xiaod.
Well, Doug's a hot dog expert, so he knows.
And it's also pronounced Montreal. Montreal.
We retweeted it.
Yeah, it looks good.
So have either one of you been in Montreal and had one of these? I don't know if it's any different.
So here's what's crazy. When I was younger, I went to baseball games at the old Olympic Stadium, which is one of the strangest places I've ever been, architecturally. Very bizarre. There's a chance I had a Sheen Shiod back then. There's a chance. Because I was
I
ate stuff back then.
It's true. I love hot dogs.
Yeah, and
or I used to love hot dogs. And last one I had was okay. It was okay. I'm getting back on the train.
Turned you off a little
there,
bit.
I was turned off by hot dogs significantly.
Me too.
Yeah,
for a while.
Yeah, but I'm a big hot dog guy. There's no question about it. And this dog looks very very tasty. I mean. Look, I'd go more mustard on it. This one has mustard and relish. I'm down with that.
Do you think ketchup was an option? Should we judge Cal based upon his choice?
No, you don't judge anybody. Whatever they put on a hot dog is whatever they want to put on a hot dog.
Well, you're no fun.
Well, I don't like the people that tell me what I can do.
Yeah, well, I understand that. But
and I think that's awful when people, yeah.
Do you think
only mustard on a hot dog? Shut up. Did you buy my hot dog? No.
Are you eating my hot dog?
Yeah, are you eating your taste buds enjoying my hot dog?
You wouldn't do it this way? You wouldn't do mustard and relish?
No, I would do
roughly
mustard 50, and relish.
50-50?
I'm down with it.
Okay.
I like relish. I like mustard.
So your perfect Sheen Shiod is mustard and relish?
No. My perfect hot dog.
That's what I'm getting at.
My perfect hot dog has mustard, ketchup, onions, and probably some American cheese.
American cheese.
Yeah, I like to put the cheese in the bun on the sides of the bun and then put the dog in the middle of it.
Like roll the dog in the
you
cheese?
You can do that, yeah, but I just kind of put, I spread the cheese open in the bun and then I lay the meat right in between there. All right. And then.
Well, that makes it a true,
thank you.
That's then a craft.
The onions and then the mustard on top of the onions. Why? So the mustard weighs down the onions so they don't go flying all over the place when you take a bite.
He's giving it some thought, people.
Yeah, and a little bit of ketchup.
All right, so you can see Cal's Sheen Shiod on our Twitter account, at DunGator971.
Though, if I have a choice between a hot dog and a Coney, I'd probably just go to the Coney.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't put ketchup on the conies. It's just mustard, chili, and onions. Yeah, some people do, and that's fine.
Do they?
But it's just for me, it's mustard, chili, and onions.
Let's go to Tom and Acelio on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right, Tom.
Hey, I lived in Montreal for 5 years. I played hockey over there. Had plenty of those dogs. The difference is the bun is a piece of bread. It's kind of cut in half, so the dog sits in there.
Yeah.
But they grill it like a grilled cheese. So the consistency of the bun has a little crisp to it.
Oh.
Yeah, the meat is a little to be desired. It's Canadian meat to me is, you know. But if it was an all beef hot dog, even like Costco serves on that, it would be awesome. I'm surprised it hasn't caught on here.
Yeah, the all beef hot dogs are delicious.
You sound a little lukewarm towards it.
What?
Oh, Tom here.
No, I mean, just the beef part of it kind of makes it a letdown. It's part of it, right?
Oh, I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy, Gator. You're the one to answer that.
I mean, I love all hot dogs, but well, that's not true. I don't love turkey dogs or chicken dogs, but the the real hot dogs you get, whether they're the natural.
Why is that so funny,
ones.
Kang?
I just agree with him. That's all. I took a direct shot at you, but I mean,
well, what's funny is
Doug doesn't like turkey.
I think turkey dogs are disgusting.
They're terrible.
I think they're awful, and
they're mushy. They fall apart. They're gross.
They're. It's probably the of all the turkey, like a turkey burger, I can do. A chicken, like sausage, I can do. A turkey dog, I just, for me, they're awful. But all right, let's move on. How about them Tigers, Scott? How about them Tigers?
How about them Tigers?
So, look, yesterday, Tarek Skubal bullied the Yankees, and they are now 7-1 since the 0-3 start against the Dodgers. And when you like a team and the team gets off to a start like this, which is a 7-4 start, okay? It's not like they're undefeated or anything like that. But you know what you don't do? You don't tap the brakes.
We
get a lot of tap the brakes, guys. We get a lot of that. I'm like, look, I think what happened at the end of last year was something that's legit. I think it's carried over into this year. And because it's a many of the same collection of players, but mostly it's the same strategy, and the acquisition of the players they got are parts that they feel that they can get the most out of. And, I mean, we heard from wait till they play the Yankees guy. And I just wonder if wait till they play the Yankees guy is even remotely impressed, because wait till they play the Yankees guy is probably going to say, well, it's only two games. And I'm okay. I mean,
it's two games, but the Yankees have scored two runs in those two games total.
Do you remember the Yankees? If people can remember back to 2 weeks ago, what people were saying about the Yankees when they scored 36 runs in the 3-game series against Milwaukee and hit 15 home runs.
Buddy, you don't have to go that far back. You just have to go back to the preview show we did on Monday. Here come the Yankees. They average 8 runs a game. They've got 25 home runs through 9. And, now through 11.
Yeah.
They have, I think, 20. Did they hit a home run in the first game?
The Yankees?
Yeah. When they had the two runs, I forget if they hit a home run or not. I don't think they did. So they have 25 home runs now through 11 games. And their 8 runs a game has dropped significantly because – they've scored 2 in the last 2 outings.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with regardless of what happens today, I'm satisfied right now.
Yep.
I'm hungry for a sweep, but I'm satisfied that they've got the series win. You just got to win series. And at this point, being 2-0 against that team with that lineup.
So there's a couple things too here. Not only have they scored 2 runs, they've scored 1 earned run.
That's right.
They scored 1 earned run. And the Tigers, Torkelson does it again yesterday with 2 really hard hit balls for a double and a home run.
I can't believe that home run went out. If you watch a replay of that, I'm like, that's going to land in the gap in left center field and he'll get a double out of it.
Yeah.
It just kept carrying and went over 400 feet over the wall.
I guess Here's what I'm going to ask for the people who aren't impressed, okay? I'm going to ask you this question to try and quantify your feelings towards this team. Because invariably, at the start of a baseball season, we will get the call or the reference or the person that will say, I'm not even going to begin to judge them until they've played 40 games. Okay. Because it was brought down on stone tablets by an old manager with white hair that 40 games is the time.
He wasn't that old. He just had white hair.
Yes, that's a good point. He wasn't that old. He looked like he was 90 when he was 45. Right. Anyway, the point is, if you are not impressed, and you will not be impressed until they are at 40 games, can you grant us this? Are you a quarter of the way impressed?
I mean, it is 11 games.
Can you be a quarter of the way impressed with the way this team is playing?
They started off 0-3, but as you said, Doug.
My favorite 0-3 team of all time.
And now they've gone 7-1 since then.
So, and it's they're not so good that they aren't going to go through slumps. I mean, they are.
Sure.
And it's not going to be a straight line up all the time.
But I like things I've seen. Javi Baez had a base hit and his first walk of the season.
Which is funny because we brought it up on the show yesterday.
And then he got up to his next at bat was a 3-2 count. And he grounded into a fielder's choice. But, I mean, almost had a chance at two walks in the game. He hadn't walked all season. So, good to see that. But Javi's off to a 333 start on the year.
There's something that has been consistent under Scott Harris that is probably undervalued, underrated, and under-talked about, but I think might be the real sign of why this guy's good. And we will get to that today at 11:20 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Trick. You trust CGC for top-quality Connecticut water systems. Now trust them with your plumbing, too. April showers bring flooded basements. Keep yours dry with CGC Water Treatment and Plumbing. Right now, save 10% on a new Zoeller sump pump. Need backflow testing? CGC's got you covered. Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. Remember, if you're not filtering your water, you are the filter. Do not be the filter. Call your authorized independent Connecticut dealer today, 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. Evan just told us, although I have not seen the actual tweet, I guess Chris McCoskey is reporting, the Detroit News Tiger beat writer, that they're expecting Jake Rogers to be out at least a month with this oblique strain, which is rather unfortunate. But you know what? Dylan Dingler, you get the Dante I'm Not Even Supposed to Be Here Today award for hitting a home run and getting another hit and going 2-for-3 yesterday, a late emergency backup break glass catcher.
He's a backup catcher. Yeah. They're splitting games, but
yeah, but I don't think he's ever. Did they say he never caught?
He's
Scooble
not.
Before?
No, Scooble and Rogers. That's been their the battery all last year. And because you win a Cy Young award, he's going to be the personal catcher. But the AJ said during spring training that they wanted to get some outings where other catchers got a chance to work with Scooble just in case. And here it is, just in case. And what happens? He goes out and pitches a shutout. Yeah, Chris McCoskey tweets out, AJ Hinch said this morning, just as a rough estimate, he is expecting Jake Rogers to be out at least a month with the oblique strain. It's not a short stint on the IL. So that means Thomas Nido, who is the catcher in Toledo.
That Thomas Nido,
N-I-D-O. He is the backup to Dylan Dingler.
We're going to see a lot of Dylan Dingler.
We will.
Yep.
We will, and we should. He looks good.
Well, hey, nice win yesterday. Now they've beaten the Yankees twice. They go for the sweep of the New York Yankees today. Okay, look, it's there's a lot of baseball to go. The thing about this team is they are not so obviously World Series contender ready that they aren't going to have slumps. I fully expect them to have slumps. There is a reason why I was chesty about this team even after the 0-3 start. In fact, in many ways, more chesty after the 0-3 start. I really had no issue with the way the series with the Dodgers went, and I felt like it is not a true barometer of who you are. And there was a lot of good things that happened in that series. So here they are, 7-1 since then. And I'm trying to, I got to tell you, something has started to stand out to me that is maybe a part of the secret sauce or a sign that I really think that it might be indicative that this regime really, really is good. And it's something that is underrated when it takes place. It typically gets under talked about. But Scott Harris took over in September of 2022. In his first 3 months on the job, he signed Brennan Hennepy to a minor league contract. He claimed Tyler Holton off waivers from Arizona. He claimed Sean Gunther off waivers from Miami. This was all in the first 3 months of his job. Now, Gunther's not with them right now, mm-hmm. but last year he had, I believe, 4 postseason appearances and didn't give up an earned run. He was very, very good. Remember they got John Brebbia back in February?
Yep.
He's given up in 5 innings this year. He's faced 1 over the minimum. He hasn't given up a hit.
That's pretty good. Knock on wood.
Yeah. The bullpen last year was top 5 in the majors in ERA and whip. Okay. Their whip right now is currently, the walks and hits per innings pitch is currently the best in baseball. The bullpen. There is no celebration when they claim Tyler Holton off waivers from Arizona or sign Brennan Hennepy to a minor league contract. They're going out and they are mining undervalued, perhaps misutilized bullpen arms. And Scott Harris and Chris Fetter and AJ Hinch, and it's, you know, they haven't all been there the whole time, but whatever, they have been able to go get useful bullpen arms that they are able to get out. These guys are getting out. Yep. Yesterday, Herter's been around for a while in the organization, for a while. That's an underrated part of that game. Skubal turns over a 5-0 lead, and Herter just mows him down. He gives a couple base runners up, but the Yankees they didn't even really threaten.
Three shutout innings.
Yeah. And it's the ability. Even they get credit for repurposing Bo Brisky. There's
got fettered up.
They are when you do something. Look, it's great, okay, to go get Juan Soto, and it creates mass hysteria amongst fans. But they're doing smart, underrated things that are completely under the radar and go for the most part unnoticed. And these guys are getting outs for them. And they aren't costing a lot of money. They aren't costing a lot of resources. They've actually been pretty damn brilliant at building a quality bullpen last year, so far this year, without spending high-end resources. And I think it might be part of why I'm really starting to have growing faith in this organization under Scott Harris. It's been some really good stuff going on that didn't move the needle at all when those moves were made.
No, the bullpen last year was phenomenal for this team, and they carried the team over the last 6 weeks of the season, along with Tarek Skubal. But we know that the rotation was completely compromised last year. We know that they basically waved the white flag when they traded away Jack Flaherty. But that's not the result was. The result was Trey Sweeney gets promoted, becomes the everyday shortstop, plays well enough. You get a healthy Parker Meadows who refound himself at Toledo, and now he's a 300 hitter on the roster. You get a better version of Torkelson than you had earlier in the season, though for a small sample size. But really, it was the pitching that carried the day, and it does go under the radar because when you're adding bullpen arms, nobody's going to notice unless you get the big flashy closer, right?
Canely was not that,
and Canely is not a big flashy closer, but Canely is a very very good pitcher who has closed games and fits right in with this team. And it's remarkable to see that's how last year finished up, and they played really well. And now this year it continues on with the pitching, but it's also been the hitting. They've gotten much better hitting this year than we saw last year. The team overall is getting on base. They're hitting for power. The 4 solo home runs yesterday on a cold, cold day is pretty impressive.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Robert in Southfield. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Robert.
Man, why you steal my thunder, man, about Trey Sweeney? How they stole him and the catcher from the Dodgers, man, that's coming up next.
Lorenzo,
okay, yeah. Jake, right, we got so many people, man, that's in this organization. This team, man, I'm telling you, I'm going down to put $100 on the Tigers winning the Central.
Oh, boy.
Right now.
There you go.
Yeah. Flat out.
What's the number on 100? What did I get
like
you?
8-1 yeah, or something like that?
To win the Central?
Continue the conversation. Man, I love this Tigers team. This team is legit. They got interchangeable people at every position. They are nightmare. They are a coach's nightmare to even try to game plan for.
Well, it feels like they have found a collection of players that they know how to use them to get the most out of them.
How about this part? Gleyber Torres ain't even played.
Meadows hasn't played.
Cobb ain't pitched. We still got Parker Meadows like in the on the DL. And Verlin, come on, man. This team is legit.
It really does feel like it. And it goes back to, every time this topic comes up, we are told to tap the brakes. We are told it's early. And I just go back to say, I think it's all started last year, and it's continuing the same way this year.
It's a nice start.
I'm tapping nothing.
Well, it's a really nice start. And there are some speed bumps. You know, even get out of the gate, there were speed bumps into it. You're restricted because of the players, as the caller mentioned, that aren't on the roster right now. Or with a big club, I should say. They're on the roster, but they're just not with a big club because they're hurt. Now you're adding Jake Rogers to the mix. I hope this one doesn't really hurt this team. I think Dylan Dingler is a adequate, better than adequate when it comes to up at the plate. I think he can hit the baseball, but can he work the staff? He showed yesterday working with the Cy Young Award winner. He was just fine. And afterwards, Scooble said, "I only shook him off once, and it wasn't because I disagreed. I thought he was making the wrong call. I just felt better about what I wanted to throw at the time." And it was 6 shutout innings of baseball. He goes out of the game. Now you bring in Brant Herder, and it's 3 more shutout innings of baseball.
Mowing down the New York Torpedo Bat, 15 home run, the first 3 game Yankees. 15, the first 3 games.
Sorry, yeah. 25 through the first 9.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, Tiger fans. Are you a quarter? Even if you're a skeptic, are you a little impressed? A little impressed, 7-1 since the Dodger series, 97-1 The Ticket.
Hey, if you have any issues whatsoever with your garage door, I'm telling you who to call. It's Precision Garage Door Service. Give them a call today at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR because they're going to come out to your house and fix whatever problem you have. I had to call them out years ago for problems I had with my garage door, and they were amazingly professional, came out right away, diagnosed the problem, and better yet, they fixed the problem. So if your garage door is suddenly not working, count on Precision Garage Door Service to answer your call 24/7 and schedule your repair appointment, and they'll do it quickly. Here's the best part. If you do it on their webpage, you can set up a time that works for you. You're not dependent on what their window of opportunity is. They're going to work with your schedule. So give them a call today at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or go to precisiondoormi.com. Welcome back to the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug and Gator taking your calls and your texts at 248-539-9797. It's exciting times right now. If you're a Tigers fan or if you're a Pistons fan, always if you're a Lions fan. Red Wings fan, not so much. But the Tigers come away with a win yesterday over the Yankees in shutout fashion, 5-0. They've got the game today. Try to get the sweep. It would be the first time they would have swept the Yankees in a regular season. They haven't done it since 2000.
We have reposted, you mentioned the Pistons. We have reposted the look at next year's City Edition jerseys. John Neo tweeted out initially from the Detroit News. We have retweeted it if you want to check them out. I think I'm a huge fan. I'd like to see the entire jersey. You kind of can't see the shorts here a little bit. But I think it's a good look. But you can check it out for yourself at Doug and Gator 971. 248-539-9797. You don't like them, or do you?
No, I kind of do. It's just it's interesting to me because it's an homage to the horse head without having a horse head.
A little bit.
Because you've got the, it's just a little bit of color.
Well, certainly some teal. It looks like teal, yellow, and maroon.
Yeah.
You're right. But it's mostly black, but it's got those.
Is it black or is it a bluish?
I don't know if it's navy, black or blue.
Whatever
it's dark.
It is. It's cool. I like it.
And the teal, yellow, and maroon are just like the piping.
Yes.
But you can check it out for yourself. At Dungator 971. Kang, what do you think?
I like them. And yeah, it's not black. It's like a darker blue, actually. Because you can see
like the tiger hat blue.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I mean, look at the sleeve, the arm sleeve on Cade. That's black, and you can tell there's a difference between that and the jersey.
All right,
I like them.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Bob in Ann Arbor. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Samantha and I are on our way to our ninth game of the year, having had the good sense to miss the three against the Dodgers.
Wait. You were in Seattle?
All three of them.
Wow, hardcore.
Yeah, we always try to go to a very early road trip.
Oh, that was an early one.
We miss baseball all year, and Samantha loves it. So my take so far is the bullpen, there's nothing surprising about it. I knew they had a great bullpen. And I knew they had good starting pitching. But if Casey Mize is the real deal, then they have spectacular starting pitching.
Yeah.
In terms of the hitting, obviously they're not a great hitting team, but they needed some people to step forward. And right now, three people have really stepped up. I'm not going to talk about somebody like Carpenter or Green because that's expected. But McKinstry and Dingler and who's the third one?
Torkelson.
Yeah. Torkelson have all been really, really good. I still think there's just something wrong with having to play Ryan Kreidler in center field. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Well, it's an emergency break glass situation, right? I mean, what are their other options given their injuries?
I'm a little surprised that given the depth of their organization, they can't find somebody with the White Sox or the Miami team or somewhere that's willing to trade them a, you know, average major leaguer type center fielder. And that's about the, but other than that, they obviously have as good a manager as there is in baseball. And one of the things that annoyed me during the offseason, when they talked about Bregman, they talked about getting a veteran presence in the clubhouse. The last thing, I mean, Bregman's a wonderful player, but this team does not need a veteran presence. This team knows how to show up for games, stay in games, and play hard.
Well, they got a lot of that experience last year, for sure, and I think that's an interesting point. I wouldn't mind if they had a veteran player to come in here. I think that you go back to the 2006 Tiger team that waited to the World Series, and you know, they had a bunch of veterans there, and they brought in another one, like Kenny Rogers, in that offseason, which I think was pretty important for them. But those are different teams and different eras of baseball, frankly. But I like what they're doing, and I think that experience they got last year with that run, it wasn't just the experience they had getting into important games in September. It was winning a playoff series. And then losing a heartbreaking playoff series. Remember, they had the lead in that year, that series. They were up 2-1 over Cleveland, and then ended up losing it in 5 games. That's heartbreaking, and that means something. These guys were able to experience that and see that, so maybe that whole veteran presence thing doesn't matter anymore because these guys are kind of battle-tested.
You know what's weird? You know, he just mentioned that he's surprised that Kreidler was the call in center field. Akil Badu is still in the organization.
Yeah, but he's on a rehab assignment, and he's at Lakeland right now on his rehab assignment.
Yeah, but I haven't heard anybody say when Badu is healthy.
I don't know if he's on the 40-man roster either.
Could be the case. But if you're going to go outside the organization, you've got to put that guy in the 40-man roster. So if you're going to do that,
yeah,
then they do still have Akil Badu, and I'm not.
Well, they also have Riley Green, right?
Right.
That they have used at center field probably way more than they wanted to, but they are using him in center field. So, got to go with that as well. But having another outfielder sure would be nice. It felt like, you know, a couple of years ago they had nothing but outfielders, and that's not the case now.
Right.
So need some guys to matriculate through the minors quickly or just go with what they've got. I mean, what they've got so far, they're off to a 7-4 start.
Yeah, and look, and I'm not saying clearly they should go bring in Akil Baddoo, but it's more of a don't forget about this guy. He could play a role here at some point. He is not on the 40-man roster, so he would have to be put back on the 40-man roster.
Right, and you actually have to show that he can hit. At this point, he's played a handful of games with Lakeland, and he's off to a – had to get one good game, and then the rest of it's kind of a slow
start. I get you, but, I mean, has Kreider shown that he can hit?
No. No. I guess not really. Yeah. I don't think he's a long-term solution by any means.
Let me just restate this. This is simply a don't forget about him. Maybe he does play a role. I kind of forgot he was with the organization, and I'm like, wait a sec.
Well, but don't be surprised if they do trade for somebody as well.
They could. I can't imagine if they think they're getting Parker Meadows and Matt Vierling back, and
I mean, they just got Brewer Heckland.
I know,
and he is on the roster, and he is with the big team.
But it his point interesting about they need a veteran presence in the locker room, and I kind of bought into that.
He said they don't.
But, yeah, no, that's what was said. He might be right that they don't.
Yeah.
They are proving a lot. They proved a lot in August and September, and they continue to prove it now. Maybe they don't need that. Maybe they're way they are.
Yeah, and you don't force it. I mean, if you could find a fit, then you find a fit. You're always looking to better your roster. 100% you try to do that. But I don't think you do it just intentionally to go, we got to get somebody that's got who's a veteran presence. Mm-hmm. If he happens to be a veteran, great. But they should be looking to improve this roster.
Okay. I'm going to give Ewan Kang an assignment.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Gator doesn't like assignments.
At least I'm awake for it. What do you got? I'm in the presence of somebody who's giving me the assignment as opposed to, you know, playing Tetris in my dorm room.
The assignment is as follows. Somebody put together a list of the five Detroit Lions who have the most to prove. Okay? Right. I'm setting the over-under at 3.5. Can you and Kang come up with the five? Texters, you can send some names over to help spark the conversation. Five Detroit Lions that have the most to prove in 2025. Okay? See if you guys can top 3.5 with the help of the listeners. It's Carson Anderson. We'll get to that today at 11:48. You're on 97.1, The Ticket. All right, Twin Peaks fans, it's hump day, and you know what that means. Bourbon and brews back at Twin Peaks. Every Wednesday, your favorite Twin Peaks girls dressed to impress in their finest black lingerie, serving up samples of special bourbons and beers. Get there between 5 and 7 for sampling opportunities of these high-end bourbons and whiskeys and some of their famous craft cocktails. Enjoy them with the beer of the month, which is Bell's Oberon. And what's better than beautiful Twin Peaks girls and awesome drinks? How about pairing it up with some of their scratch-made food? As far as restaurants go, their food can compete with just about anyone. Hand-cut New York strip steaks, house-smoked ribs and brisket, and the best wings in the state. Have you had their wings? They're hand-cut and battered to order. All the boneless wings, the smoked wings, their naked and breaded wings. Enough to tackle any appetite. The biggest ones you've seen. And, you know, pairs well with wings. All your favorite sports action. Twin Peaks should be your destination for sports all season long. They deliver the best game day atmosphere. Apart from actually being at the game, we were just there during the college basketball tournament. It is outstanding. In fact, they took down decorations to put up more TVs, 50-plus, at every Twin Peaks location. Ask your Twin Peaks girls for awesome drink specials during every game. Twin Peaks, eat, drinks, scenic views. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, did you get anywhere?
I mean, I got a list of seven guys here. I got to trim down to five. But
okay. Kang, you got a list on your own?
I got some names.
Okay.
I got some names. Are we doing this together or are we doing it separately?
I think you guys should talk it through and come up with your final five.
I agree.
Okay.
I like that. Teamwork. Makes the dream work.
And people been texting in? I'm sure they have.
Yes.
They helped out. The definitive list, I mean, it's one person's opinion, but we'll go ahead and call it the definitive list of the five Detroit Lions with the most to prove.
I just had two quick questions.
Yep.
One, these are Detroit Lions players, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Just wanted to make sure it wasn't like a coach or something like that.
Like Calvin Shepard.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's a great thinking. Look at you. Great thinking man's answer. Playing the role of the thinking man today on the Carson Anderson program as Ken, the producer.
Somebody has to.
And secondly, this is a national publication?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to see the perspective that whoever wrote this.
But
that's a great, no, that's a fair
okay,
question.
Okay, but it's a national publication, but it's a local writer.
Oh. Hello, Eric Woodyard, perhaps.
That's a great example. Works for ESPN, national publication, local writer.
Okay.
All right.
So it's not
it's not somebody who's completely outside
exactly.
who's just going to throw out, you know, it's
yeah,
somebody
parachuting
who
in, not paying attention.
Right.
No.
Let's start debating, King, before we go to the people's picks, because I think we should come up with our
and then see if anybody
and then,
else
and see what the people say, and then we can go, oh, we should have done that. I'm going to throw a first name at you, King. Levi Onwuzurike.
All right. I'm not sure. But the fact that we've asked those questions, it is a local writer for national publication. Levi would be on his radar for sure. So to me, he's a maybe Gator. I'm willing
okay,
to listen.
We can circle back?
Yes.
Want to circle back. Okay. Christian Mahogany?
I don't think so because he's not exactly the guy yet. Now, if he was penciled in for sure as the guy, because we got a draft to go through here.
This is true.
I want to circle back as well.
Circle back on Mahogany. Not a good start. Here's one I think will be on both of our lists.
Okay.
Broderick Martin.
He's on my list.
Okay. Let's circle him. Yes.
Okay.
Josh Pascal.
Not on my list.
Oh.
And we have two different lists, I think.
We do. And it's Rakestra.
Not on my list. Right now, he's not even the third defensive back, so I don't know how much he really has to prove.
Hendon Hooker.
Not on my list.
And last, I have Mekhi Wingo.
We have two different lists.
We have two different lists. I have Mekhi Wingo as a seventh player.
Okay. We might just go two separate lists if you want.
Okay, Kang, let me hear yours.
Mine is Terrion Arnold. J-Mo.
J-Mo. I mean,
he's on a contract almost year, basically.
Yeah,
right?
But hasn't he proved that he's good? But, you've already got St. Brown signed, so, I mean, what's he got to prove that?
That he's worth a contract extension.
I guess I'm thinking I wouldn't extend him regardless, but.
Okay.
Well,
I'm going to hear you.
I hear you.
Go ahead.
Well, we agree on Broderick Martin.
Yeah.
I was going to put this one on the list, Hutch, because of the injury. And we get calls and texts all the time about people not. They
I
seem to be overly
it.
Worried about him. And I'm like, would someone write him as, hey, he's got to prove he's healthy?
I thought about that, but then I thought better of it and said, you know, I mean, if you ask the head, let's say you ask Dan Campbell, does Aiden Hutchinson have anything to prove this year? And he's going to say, of course not. We know what Aiden Hutchinson is. He's got to get back out there, and we feel confident he's going to be healthy and be the player he was and be better. So I don't think he'd be on that list, particularly if it's a guy who has more intimate knowledge with the Lions.
I'm not married to that name. Okay. I just, it was a name I wrote down.
Yeah. I understood the logic behind it. I considered it.
That's why.
Any more, or is that your list?
I did have one more. This was kind of a wild card one, but Derek Barnes.
Okay. So let me read you one of the definitions, because this will change it. There's a bit of a clue here, because you guys are going to pare it down, right?
Yeah.
Five lines with the most to prove. Story starts by the writer saying, one thing's clear, Lions like their roster, and why wouldn't they? A team went 15-2 in the regular season, despite missing a number of key players. Those injuries finally caught up them in the postseason, but it doesn't require a drastic shift in philosophy or panic move. Instead, the Lions have worked to retain what they have, and the hope is the core will be enough to carry them to another strong season. But what about some of the less heralded players with questions attached to their names? It's worth discussing. We'll do that here, taking a look at some with more to prove. Less heralded, that can help you pare it down, right?
I would take Hutch off the list. But I agree with the Levi now. Levi has an
okay, so circle Levi,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
So we got Levi and Broderick.
Yeah.
I think Terrion Arnold has something big to prove this year.
You think Arnold?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, well,
I think.
I'll go with you on that. I mean, he's not on my list, but I'll give it to you.
You give me that one?
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Will you give me Mahogany?
I'll give you Mahogany. It's a give and take relationship.
This is how we roll.
I think Josh Pascal. You know, I mean, this is what, his third year with the team now? And he really hasn't separated himself as being a guy. He's a depth guy.
I'm going to go with it. All right. You've sold me.
All right, that's five.
Okay, so your five are Pascal, Arnold, Martin, Mahogany, and Levi.
That's correct.
I set the over-under at 3.5. You guys. Hold on, I just accidentally closed the page.
A lot of discussion.
Timing's bad.
We had a lot of discussion on this.
I apologize.
Some give and take. That's how we work.
Okay, here we go. You guys got one.
Well, this is a BS list. It's completely BS.
Like garbage you come up with, Karsh.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know where you come up with your material.
So I'm trying to think if you named.
Here are the other names that I had on there.
All right.
Rakestraw.
Yep.
Hooker and Wingo.
One of those guys made the list that you took off the list. Do you want me to just give you the list?
Yeah, why don't you tell us?
Because we're going
to
run out of
time. And then I want the people to be smart with who they said, but who's on the list?
All right. Number one name, Edge Marcus Davenport.
Well, you know what
I don't buy. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he wasn't even here last year.
Yeah.
Number two, Graham Glasgow.
I thought about him.
What's he got to prove? Graham Glasgow
can prove
he'll
still be
player.
A starter.
Yeah, that's why we went with Mahogany, though.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Number three, Hendon Hooker.
I understand it.
Number four, Broderick Martin.
Hey, we got it.
And number five, Colby Sorsdahl.
Backup offensive lineman. All
this right. This is the list put together by Colton Pouncey of the Athletic. Sounds like you guys are ready to fight.
No, I mean, you know, Colton's good people.
He is good. He's really good at his job. Really good at his job.
I just would,
the problem is
a couple of our names are on his list.
They all come with like six paragraph explanations, and I'm not going to read them all.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like Marcus Davenport.
That's the one I strongly disagree with.
What
he
has to prove. Here's what he writes at the top. What he has to prove. He's got more in the tank after injuries derailed his career. Number two, Graham Glasgow. What he has to prove, he can still be a starter for the Lions. Number three, Hendon Hooker. What he has to prove, that he can be a quality backup for the Lions or a potential starter for another team. Number four, Broderick Martin. What he has to prove, he can be the nose tackle the Lions drafted him to be. Number five, Colby Sorsdahl. What he has to prove, he can be a key reserve along the offensive line.
Well, see, Sorsdahl being a key reserve among the offense, I mean, he is what he is. Saying key reserve... what is there to prove? That's not proving like he can even be a starter. I want bigger. I want better. I want something that really has meat to it. Davenport, I did consider him for a half a second, and then the reason I took it off is, yeah, we know what he is. What's there to prove? The only thing he's got to prove is he can stay healthy, but you know, at this point, that's just a bonus. The contract is such that if he's healthy, he gets rewarded, and if he's not, then the Lions don't get punished other than a roster spot. So Yeah, I'm with Kang. I'm vehemently opposed to having Davenport on that list. I understand Hooker on the list.
Players I understand Hooker, but I don't get how he's going to do it if he doesn't play. Like, you have your quarterback.
Well, but it's going to be, can you prove that you're a backup quarterback? He's going to have, that's completely contingent on how he plays in the preseason, and then you don't see him again. I mean, I hear you.
I understand. Yeah, we need him to be good, and we hope to never see him. We ask the question, it's one of the most bizarre tools of measurement ever. If he proves to be good enough to be the backup, was he worth the pick? As if he never plays. And I would argue yes, because then they don't have to go out and put a big resource into a backup quarterback. But you know, it's a strange if people want to argue it was a wasted pick, I can understand why. It's just I think there's tremendous value in having confidence in your backup quarterback.
The other one I take umbrage with on his list is Glasgow. Glasgow's a starter. And now he's gonna go with Zeitler out. I mean, you could move Glasgow back to right guard, which he's a better right guard than he is a left guard.
Well, here's what he says. Last season, Glasgow allowed the seventh most pressure amongst guards with 36. Then allowed nine more, almost 25% of his regular season pressures in Detroit's playoff loss with the Washington Commanders.
He needs to be on the right side.
Yeah.
Where he was probably pretty good if you go the Pro Football Focus stats or whatever. So,
hey, man, I just thought we'd dip our toe into the...
Great, now you got us angry with Colton Pouncey. That's awesome. Mission accomplished, Karsh.
Take it up with Colton. It is Karsh and Anderson. We'll get back to some Tiger stuff leading into an afternoon game with the Yankees.